After hearing Krishna speak the entire philosophy of spiritual life in such an abbreviated summation, Vasudeva was exceedingly pleased with his son. Being thus elated, he could not speak, but remained silent. In the meantime, Devaki, the mother of Lord Krishna, sat by the side of her husband. Previously, she had heard that Krishna and Balarama were so kind to their teacher that they had brought back the teacher's dead son from the clutches of the superintendent of death. Since she had heard of this incident, she had also been thinking of her own sons who were killed by Kamsa. And while remembering them, she was overwhelmed with grief. Out of compassion for her dead sons, Devaki appealed to Lord Krishna and Balaram. "My dear Balaram, your very name suggests that you give all pleasure and all strength to everyone. Your unlimited potency is beyond the reach of your minds and words. And, my dear Krishna, you are the master of all mystic yogis. I know that you are the master of the Prajapatis like Brahma and his assistants. And you are the original personality of Godhead, Narayana. I also know for certain that you have descended to annihilate all kinds of miscreants who have been misled in the course of time. They have lost control of their minds and senses and have fallen from the quality of goodness and have deliberately neglected the direction of the revealed scriptures by living a life of extravagance and impudence. You have descended on the earth to minimize the burden of the world by killing such miscreant rulers. My dear Krishna, I know that Mahavishnu, who is lying in the causal ocean of the cosmic manifestation, and who is the source of this whole creation, is simply an expansion of your plenary portion. The creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this cosmic manifestation are effected only by your plenary portion. I therefore take shelter of you without reservation. I have heard that when you wanted to reward your teacher, Sandipani Muni, and he asked you to bring back his dead son, you and Balaram immediately brought him from the custody of Yamaraj, although he had been dead for a very long time. By this act, I understand you to be the supreme master of all mystic yogis. I therefore ask you to fulfill my desire in the same way. In other words, I am asking you to bring back all my sons who were killed by Kamsa. Upon you bringing them back, my heart will be content, and it will be a great pleasure for me just to see them once. After hearing their mother speak in this way, Lord Balarama and Krishna immediately called for the assistance of Yogamaya. And they started for the lower planetary system known as Sutala. Formerly, in his incarnation of Vamana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead had been satisfied by the king of the demons, Bali Maharaj, who donated to him everything he had. Bali Maharaj was then given the whole of Sutala for his residence and kingdom. Now, when this great devotee, Bali Maharaj, saw that Lord Balaram and Krishna had come to his planet, he immediately merged in an ocean of happiness. As soon as he saw Lord Krishna and Balaram in his presence, he and all his family members stood up from their seats and bowed down at the lotus feet of the two lords. Bali Maharaj offered Lord Krishna and Balaram the best seat he had in his possession. And when both lords were seated comfortably, he began to wash their lotus feet. He then sprinkled the water on his head and on the heads of his family members. The water used to wash the lotus feet of Krishna and Balarama can purify even the greatest demigods, such as Lord Brahma. After this, Bali Maharaj brought valuable garments, ornaments, sandalwood pulp, betel nuts, lamps, and various nectarian foods. And along with his family members, he worshipped the two lords according to the regulative principles and offered his riches and body unto their lotus feet. King Bali was feeling such transcendental pleasure that he repeatedly grasped the Lord's lotus feet and kept them on his chest. And sometimes he put them on the top of his head. In this way, he felt transcendental bliss. Tears of love and affection began to flow from his eyes, and all of his bodily hairs stood on end. He began to offer prayers to the lords in a voice which choked up intermittently. My dear Lord Balaram, you are the original Anantadev. You are so great that Anantadev Ashesha and other transcendental forms have originally emanated from you. And you, Lord Krishna, are the original Personality of Godhead, with an eternal form that is all blissful and full of complete knowledge. You are the creator of the whole world. You are the original initiator and propounder of the systems of Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. You are the Supreme Brahman, the original Personality of Godhead. I therefore, with all respect, offer my obeisances unto both of you. My dear lords, it is very difficult for the living entities to get to see you. Yet, when you are merciful upon your devotees, you are easy for them to see. As such, only out of your causeless mercy have you agreed to come here and be visible to us, who are generally influenced by the qualities of ignorance and passion. My dear Lord, we belong to the Daitya, or demon category. The demons, or demoniac persons, the Gandharvas, the Siddhas, the Vidyadharas, Charanas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Pisachas, ghosts, and hobgoblins, are by nature incapable of worshipping you or becoming your devotees. Instead of becoming your devotees, they are simply impediments on the path of devotion. But you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, representing all the Vedas, and are situated in the mode of uncontaminated goodness. Your position is always transcendental. For this reason, some of us, although born of the modes of passion and ignorance, have taken shelter of your lotus feet and have become devotees. Some of us are actually pure devotees, and some of us have taken shelter of your lotus feet because we desire to gain something from devotion. By your causeless mercy only are we demons in direct contact with your personality. This contact is not possible even for the great demigods. No one knows how you act through your Yogamaya potency. Even demigods cannot calculate the expanse of the activities of your internal potency. So how is it possible for us to know it? I therefore place my humble prayers before you. Please be kind to me, who am fully surrendered unto you, and favor me with your causeless mercy, so that I may simply remember your lotus feet, birth after birth. My only ambition is that I may live alone, just like the Paramahansas, who travel alone here and there in great peace of mind, depending simply upon your lotus feet. I also desire that if I have to associate with anyone, I may associate only with your pure devotees and no one else. For your pure devotees are always well-wishers of all living entities. I also desire that if I have to associate with anyone, I may associate only with your pure devotees and no one else. For your pure devotees are always well-wishers of all living entities. My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Master and Director of the whole world. Please, therefore, engage me in your service, and let me thus become free from all material contaminations. You can purify me in that way, because if someone engages him or herself in the loving service of your Lordship, he or she is immediately freed from all kinds of regulative principles enjoined in the Vedas. The word Paramahansa means supreme swan. It is said the swan can draw milk from a mixture of milk and water. It can take only the milk portion and reject the watery portion. Similarly, a person who can draw out the spiritual portion from this material world and who can live alone, depending only on the Supreme Spirit and not on this material world, is called Paramahansa. When one achieves the Paramahansa platform, he is no longer under the regulative principles of the Vedic injunctions. A Paramahansa accepts only the association of pure devotees and rejects others who are too much materially addicted. In other words, those who are materially addicted cannot understand the value of the Paramahansa. But those who are fortunate, who are advanced in a spiritual sense, take shelter of the Paramahansa and successfully complete the mission of human life. After Lord Krishna heard the prayers of Bali Maharaj, he spoke as follows. My dear king of the demons, in the millennium of Swayambhuva Manu, the Prajapati known as Marichi begot 6 sons, all demigods, in the womb of his wife, Urna. Once upon a time, Lord Brahma became captivated by the beauty of his daughter and was following her, impelled by sex desire. At that time, these 6 demigods looked at the action of Lord Brahma with abhorrence. This criticism of Brahma's action by the demigods constituted a great offense on their part, and for this reason they were condemned to take birth as the sons of the demon Hiranyakashipu. These sons of Hiranyakashipu were thereafter put into the womb of Mother Devaki, and as soon as they took their birth, Kamsa killed them one after another. My dear king of the demons, Mother Devaki is very anxious to see these 6 dead sons again, and she is very much aggrieved on account of their early death at the hand of Kamsa. I know that all of them are living with you. I have decided to take them with me to pacify my mother, Devaki. After seeing my mother, all 6 of these conditioned souls will be liberated, and thus, in great pleasure, they will be transferred to their original planet. The names of these 6 conditioned souls are as follows: Smara, Udgita, Parishvanga, Patanga, Kshuddhabrit, and Grinni. After thus informing the king of the demons, Krishna stopped speaking, and Bali Maharaj understood the Lord's purpose. He duly worshipped the Lord, and thereafter Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram took away the six conditioned souls and returned to the city of Dwarka, where Lord Krishna presented them as little babies before his mother Devaki. Mother Devaki was overwhelmed with joy and was so ecstatic in motherly feeling that milk immediately began to flow from her breasts, and she fed the babies with great satisfaction. She took them on her lap again and again, smelling their heads and thinking, "I have gotten my lost children back." For the time being, she was overpowered by the energy of Vishnu. And in great motherly affection, she enjoyed the company of her lost children. The milk from the breasts of Devaki is transcendental nectar, because that same milk had been sucked by Lord Krishna. As such, the babies who sucked the breasts of Devakiji, which had touched the body of Lord Krishna, immediately became self-realized persons. The babies, therefore, began to offer their obeisances unto Lord Krishna and Balaram and their father Vasudev and their mother Devaki. After this, they were immediately transferred to their respective heavenly planets. After they departed, Devaki was stunned with wonder that her dead children had come back and had again been transferred to their respective planets. She could adjust the events only by thinking that Lord Krishna can't perform anything wonderful in his pastimes because his potencies are all inconceivable. Without accepting the inconceivable, unlimited potencies of the Lord, one cannot understand that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Soul. By his unlimited potencies, he performs unlimited pastimes, and no one can describe them in full, nor can anyone know them all. Suta Goswami, speaking Srimad Bhagavatam before the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunaka Rishi, gave his verdict in this connection as follows. Great sages, please understand that the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna are all eternal. They are not ordinary narrations of historical incidents. Such narrations are identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Anyone, therefore, who hears such narrations of the Lord's pastimes is immediately freed from the contamination of material existence. Anyone who hears such narrations of the Lord's pastimes is immediately freed from the contamination of material existence. And those who are pure devotees enjoy these narrations as nectar entering into their ears. Such narrations were spoken by Shukadeva Goswami, the exalted son of Vyasadeva, and anyone who hears them, as well as anyone who repeats them for the hearing of others, becomes Krishna conscious. Thank you. as well as anyone who repeats them for the hearing of others, becomes Krishna conscious. And anyone who repeats them for the hearing of others becomes Krishna conscious. And only the Krishna conscious persons are eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 85th chapter of Krishna, entitled Spiritual Instruction for Vasudeva and the Return of the Six Dead Sons of Devaki by Lord Krishna.